Welcome to Extraterrestrial Reality. As you saw by the opening tonight, we have a very special episode on deck. I have with me tonight a very special guest, Scott Roeder. He's a crime scene reconstruction expert. I had him on the show before. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you.
And Scott, he was formerly of Ohio. Now he's in Florida. He operates the Evidence Room, and he also does the Crime Scene Time Machine podcast on YouTube and on Spotify. And you will find links in there in the description in tonight's episode. And because actually Scott's going to have his own analysis on this incredible news that we have to share tonight, later on tonight, I believe your show is going to be premiering at 2 a.m. tonight. I don't know what time mine's going to be, sometime after midnight at some point today. And we both have two different shows on here. We're going to talk about some of the evidence that Scott has compiled over the last few days. Over the weekend, he's been working really, really hard. And we now have evidence that we believe proves once and for all that there is an alien presence on Earth, and we are here to share it with you. We are very excited about this, as you could plainly see. I've been drinking coffee all day. I can't stop talking. I'm very excited. Scott's very excited. And he's dead tired from all the work he's done over the weekend. Is that right, Scott?
I am, man. I am. I'm pooped out. You know, I almost regret taking on the project in a way, because it's so all-consuming once you get into it and you realize, you know, what it is that you've got at your fingertips. You know, it freaked me out a little bit to see how it all came together. But once it started coming together, you know, you can't, you know, like I say, you can't stop now. I gotta see it through to the end. And I feel like we saw it through to the end on this one. I feel real confident in the evidence that we put together, and I'm excited to share it with you and especially all your people that follow your show, which is one of my favorite shows out there on the thing. Matter of fact, your show is one of the shows that inspired me to put my show together.
Well, what happened here, actually last year there was a story, as we all know, it involved the Las Vegas alien story involving the Kenmore family. It was Angel, his father Bobby, his brother Joshua, and his mother Contra. They had an incredible experience. Some people were calling it a hoax. And we're here to tell you tonight that it was not a hoax. It never was a hoax. And we have evidence tonight that we are going to share with you that shows that they were telling the truth, that there were probably 8 to 9 to 10 foot tall extraterrestrial creatures in their backyard during the early morning hours of May 1st, 2023. And we can prove it. And also there's additional evidence that Scott will present tonight with regard to the object that fell from the sky. It seems that that's not a meteor. That's what the evidence looks like. Meteors, we'll get into that later on. Meteors, yep, leave a heat signature. This object did not, and we will talk about that as well later on. But anyway, before we get started, I just want to give everyone what happened here the last week was that I had posted an update on the Vegas alien story after watching a video by the popular YouTuber Sherman. And after I did that, I received an email from one of my followers, Julia June 96, and she alerted me to something that was going on in that video that was filmed by Contra Kenmore last year, that showed her husband and two sons trying to re-exit the backyard after running out of it because of alien beings being back there and some kind of a craft. And she pointed out something to me, and as I posted in the video from last week. And Scott, you saw it. I mean, yeah. Obviously there was some sort of weird something going on where for a few seconds you see an alien head behind some kind of shadow. And then you checked it out over the weekend. And yeah, Now you're able to show us that, that there is indeed something going on there. And we have the proof. Scott has put the proof together with your assistant, who was, you're going to talk about him as well.
Yeah.
He won't be on the show tonight. Luis.
Yeah, Luis Castillo, he's an employee of Evidence Room. I normally use him for homicide recreation, 3D forensic animation for, you know, death cases, car accidents, shooting cases, all kinds of things that we do as a normal course of our business in my expert capacity as a crime scene and reconstruction expert. I got to give a big shout out to your subscriber, Julia. What a great find to call our attention. Now, mind you, we did two shows on this video, And I even went on another show because there was what I found to be a moving object in the background. And I was all excited about that. I thought that that was incontrovertible evidence. But then, you know, that was met with a lot of 50-50. Some people said they saw it. Some people's like, nah, they couldn't really see it. But I really feel like it was more about the focus of your attention, right? But now, with this new footage, are you
I'm showing the footage from last week.
Yeah, so there's
your alien that you identified last
year. That's right. And it moves dramatically from right to left. And that's what I believe scared the father and Angel to get out of Dodge. But then, pause it right there. Out of the blue, I never noticed it because my attention was focused in the middle. And then there's this thing right here to the right above the fence.
It's a face. I can see the eyes. There's the two eyes, and it's here. I mean, there's one eye here. It looks like there's one eye here for a few. It doesn't last long, and it looks like it's engulfed in the shadow, and then it re-disappears again, as we all know.
That's right. And I believe this is what the mother was reacting to when she says, oh, Poppy, and then moves the camera, because the mother is standing about 5 feet behind the younger brother. So she can't really get a good visual picture of what's going on in the background where the father at the tip of the spear is reacting to, because that's, you can see that's what Angel and the father are clearly reacting to. And then, but the mother, she can't see that even though her camera can. But the mother at this time, right when we see that face up there, she goes, oh, Poppy. And then she moves her camera and then they both go inside. And, you know, there's a little bit more to the video after that where they're trying to see what's going on in the back of the yard, I think, after they take a break. But that's what the mom is reacting to. And these are very real, legitimate, totality of the circumstance pieces of evidence that we can rely upon to call our attention to things. And your subscriber, Julia, brilliant call. I give her all the credit in the world, because this happens in the crime scene world as well. You know, I work on cases, for example, a suicide investigation or a homicide investigation where they thought it was a suicide. And when you see one piece of evidence that could be even hidden in plain sight, but when it's called to your attention, then it all falls together. And that's what happened in this case. After you, through Julia, brought my attention to what was going on above the fence, that's where we put 3 days, 2 days worth of work into to identify what is it? Is it real? Is it an anomaly? Is it actually there? What's happening while it's there? And what else is going on behind the fence that we can use the video, the shadows, AI software, vector tracking software to determine what's behind the fence and what's behind this apparent intentional design to shield itself not only from the Kenmore family, but to shield itself from being caught on camera.
And you can see we're talking here. You can see even behind, not only do you see the head appear here, but you see the shadow moving in behind the fence. And that was something that caught your eye too, when it was astonishing.
Yeah. To me, you know, I applied the same principles that I would apply to any kind of a homicide investigation, right? Yes. And you have to look at the totality of the evidence. And you're going to have debunkers that'll be like, well, but the shadow, it could be this, that, or the other. No, it cannot. And in my video that I'm premiering on my YouTube page, Crime Scene at Scott Roeder at YouTube, which will be premiering at 2 a.m. Tomorrow. And then I'll probably do another follow-up show, and you and I might do more on this. And I want to open this up, everything that we've done. I'm opening it up for peer review, okay? Anybody out there with a degree in photography, anybody out there who's a qualified expert witness in video analysis like I am, anybody out there with a master's degree or higher in education in video analysis, video editing, photography, film development, computer animation, and so on and so forth, bring it on. Look at what I've put on my YouTube channel. Look at what Jim and I are going to talk about today. And I'm willing to hear what professionals in my field have to say about this and open it up. And if I'm wrong, you know, I'll admit it. But I think that the evidence at this particular time with what we've seen here is proof couple things that these entities, both in the background and in the foreground behind the fence, are real. They're there. This is not fake. This is not a fraud. I guarantee it. 100%. These two items, these two beings, are in the real world environment with the Kenmore family. That's a fact. It's an absolute fact. That is there, and the one in the background is there. 100%. Beyond any reasonable doubt, these beings are there. Now, the question is, who are they? Where are they from, and what do they want? That's where the conversation goes after this presentation, Jim. The reality is confirmed. They're there. These people have experienced an extraterrestrial reality, interdimensional, whatever, whatever term you want to put on it. But these are non-human intelligent beings that are there in the real world. It's there. This is proof.
Well, I'm going to share something. This is something that I thought was extremely astonishing. And this shows us, I guess it gives us an idea what kind of technology these beings have. And this is something, when I saw this little portion of this little snippet of video that you sent me, I was extremely surprised. And it's amazing. So I'm going to share this right now, Scott, and then we can talk about it. You can see there. Look, there's a... It's coming up here. You isolate it. Here
That's
we go.
Right. So let's pause it there for a second. Actually, back it up for just a half a second before the second square comes up. If you can go back just right there. So right there, what we've identified, and you can even go back to where the square is directly in its original position over the fence to the other side of the screen. So, yeah, and I'll tell you when to pause it. Right when the square comes up, right there, pause it. So that square right there, what we've done is we've isolated a piece of the background, and inside of that yellow square is the tree branches that are above the fence. And then when we get to the other square, so bring that over, and that's off to the side. So we know that that's real. That's part of the environment. And now we've got the head that comes in with the smoke around it and the cloaking or whatever. And we've identified this same exact area that we identified before, same exact area, and then bring it up and compare it side by side and pause it there. This is not part of the background. This is an artifact that this being, and this is a hypothesis, through its technology, some kind of a lag in its cloaking device, in that because it's cloaking, it's cloaking with whatever background it's in where it was before. And because this film that we're looking at here is only 8/10 of a second, there must have been some lag time between that cloaking technology transferring while it moves. So this, in this square here, does not belong to the background. This belongs directly to the shadow being that is projecting it from a different location. That's my hypothesis. But clearly it's an anomaly that doesn't belong there, and there is no earthly explanation for that to happen.
Well, could you explain? You were talking to me about missing pixels. I'm going to let this play while we talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something else comes up here.
So we used AI software to analyze all this, and inside of that yellow square right there, that kind of a weird shape there. There are a number of pixels, and those pixels have been diminished by 66%. That's a weird number, but that's the number that we got when we did the computer software analysis. These pixels have been deleted by 2/3. And I have no explanation, because you could take a shadow. There's a shadow on Angel's younger brother's back that his mother is kind of projecting her shadow onto him. And we could take that area, and there's 100% pixels in those areas. This area right here has 2/3 of the pixels have been diminished. There's no explanation for that whatsoever, other than some sort of a force or technology or something that is interfering with the camera's ability to capture the image. And it's basic photographic videography technology. A pixel is a pixel, right? That's how you get resolution. So if your camera is 600 by 800, that means you have 600 pixels by 800 pixels, right? That's just how much you have to work with. It's if you have a tile floor and you've got a 10-foot floor by a 20-foot floor and you have 1-foot tiles on your floor. It's the same thing with a pixel on a camera based on how big your camera screen is and how many pixels it's capturing per video. This section here is missing 2/3 of the pixels that should be there. And there's no explanation for that to be there. It's not. There's no explanation for it that I can determine.
It's an impossibility, basically. There's a technology at work. What you're basically saying is there's a technology at play here that's beyond our understanding.
That's correct. Yes, I've been doing this work. I'm 53 years old. I started my company, Evidence Room, in 2001. I've been working in the field since 1994. So that's 30 years I've been in this business. I don't know of any technology that can eliminate pixels on a camera in just 0.8 of a second. And for it to be coincidentally, there are no coincidences, by the way, over two eyes and a head that happens to be 8 to 10 feet tall, just like these kids demonstrated consistently in all of their statements, in their 911 call, and so on and so forth. The fact that this is there and that their statements are so credible, and not only their statements, but the police officer's statements, the body camera footage, the dozens of 911 calls, this is legitimate 100% based on the totality of the evidence. I mean, just say it the way it is. This is a crashed air spaceship that somehow landed near their yard. They were hiding. This family investigated it with their weapons, got scared away, possibly, like you hypothesized before, for them to make repairs and get out of Dodge before the rest of the people came with the rest of the guns. And, you know, then you're a science experiment underneath the desert in Nevada. Right? So get out of there.
Okay. Now, I want to go to another video that you have. It was with, and this was with Louise. And I'm going to pull that one up here in a second here. Yeah. This could be a minute or a second, hopefully. Maybe not a minute. But yeah, I there's more evidence here.
I'll give you background on Louise. Louise Castillo has been working for Evidence Room, doing forensic computer animation and analysis for the last several years. He has a doctorate degree in computer animation. So he is as qualified as it comes with regard to analyzing video, special effects, creating animation, and so on. And you're going to hear from his own words right here why, and this isn't me. Like I said, this is up for peer review. Why this is real. And I'll let you play the video if you're playing the part with his audio or however you want to do it.
Yeah, some audio here, yeah. Well, it kicks in. This was, I think, what you were...
Pussy. Now, based on what we've seen in the video, this character now is sized to scale and has been put into the video as an artifact. Now, before, you know, we're going to get a lot of debunkers out there saying, well, how do we know that the original video doesn't have a foreign artifact in it? So my question to you as an expert in the field of computer animation, video editing, video analysis, what have you been able to determine with regard to the original video and whether or not this thing that we see here, this entity? So my question to you is, how can we be so sure that the original video does not have any artifacts in it, adding in these beings?
The key point to notice this, it's the lighting. like I said before in a previous meeting. So you can be sure that there is something in the video, because normally when we do a digital compositing, there is a way or path that normally you can see in the pixels, because as you know, at the moment to add other elements, make some overlays at the moment to create the compositing, you can see the difference in the pixelization and the pixels, but this video has not been altered in any way. It's a original source. It's a original video. After a review several times and use a special software to track all this motion, vector motion, I noticed that this shadow that you can see over the fence in reality is in the video. It's not been placed for an artist or any special guy that do special effects or stuff like that. As you can see in my screen, you can see this.
Right. Yeah. Those are our tracking.
Tracking point.
Tracking points of all things moving in the environment.
Exactly.
I see. So this is how the light is refracting off of the object that's moving. Is that correct?
Right. That's correct. So the key point here, it's try to understand that the shadow of the head of this entity, it's in reality in the video. At the moment you use a special software to track the motion of the vector, like I said before, after make some stabilization of the video, and then make a technique used in special effect named a match move. I noticed that in reality the motion, the vector motion and the shadow follow perfectly without any error, because when you mix several layers in compositing using digital compositing software, there is always a kind of a little range of error in the motion of the pixels, but this matches perfectly, so I can tell you that this entity, this the fume, this artifact or whatever, at the moment is there. It's into the frame. It's into the scene. In reality, it's there. It's not coming from any other source.
Very important point to make, and I thank you for that, because I was talking with some other folks in the field of ufology, and of course they're not scientists. The people that I was talking to they're journalists and so on, and people are very and also spoke to a Harvard professor, Avi Loeb, who is an astrophysicist. Although his area of expertise is not video analysis like ours and particularly yours are in this particular matter. And they always say something of, well, we can't trust anything on video unless they personally capture it. And, I think that what we'll be able to demonstrate is that's not true. You can analyze a video that you are not the original capture of, or you were not the photographer, you were not the videographer, or you don't even have the original phone. We can take a video and look at whether or not there is an artificial artifact added to it or not. And in this case, we can definitively say to a degree of scientific certainty that this entity, this thing in the video, is there in the physical reality in which the Kenmore family is also there. Would you agree with that statement?
Definitely. It's true. It's there.
There you go. Well, it's there. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I guarantee it. It is there. And I wanted to be careful before you know, I came on a show like this, you know, I mean, obviously you have a lot of people that, that follow you and listen to your show. And I want to be sure before I make a statement that I can't take back. And I'm, you know, listen, we postponed this meeting a day and then several hours. So I'm like, I have one more work to do. I want to be sure. And I just can't think of any other way to debunk it. I tried to find fault. I tried to find any error rate, anything odd that was deliberately done to the video that could affect its authenticity. There is nothing. Matter of fact, the more you look at this case, the more the evidence starts piling up of consistencies. The number of 911 calls, the video footage of the alleged meteor, the police officer's reaction to it. They felt this entity or the residue when they were there. The police officers clearly say, they're scared, you're on your own, call somebody else, we're not dealing with this. And these are hardened police officers with weapons and guns and backup and everything. They don't want any part of it. They didn't want any part of it. These kids were terrified. They didn't want any part of the media. They didn't want any money. They didn't want to do anything. There's no ulterior motives. To me, this case is right out, should go down in the history books as a verified anomalous event by credible people with nothing to gain. And I have nothing to gain either. You have nothing to gain. This is just, listen, if this was a bad case, I'd say it's a bad case. Yeah. Like you and I disagree on other cases where you think something's not, you know, I'm like, ah, I think there might be something there. And you and I disagree. But we don't do shows about that. We do shows where we can all come together and say, we got one.
Just to remind people, I just want to play Angel's 911 call.
Beside it, and another one's inside, and it has big eyes and looking at us, and it's still there.
Okay, where is this on your property?
In my backyard. I swear to God, this is not a joke. This is actually, we terrify it.
So there's two people or two subjects that are in your backyard?
Correct, and they're very large. They're like 8 foot, 9 feet, 10 foot, I don't know. They look like aliens to us. Big eyes, they have big eyes, okay. Like I can't explain it, and big mouth. They're shiny eyes, and they're not human. They're 100% they're not human.
100% not human, and I think that's exactly what we're seeing here. Like I said, I believe that this is the end-all evidence that we've been waiting for. I think that everybody in the UFO community should be very happy today. I think this is vindication day for everyone, because now we could prove we have the evidence that shows that there is something here, something among us. We don't know what they're up to. Who knows? We could worry about that another day. I mean, obviously, if they were going to do something, they would have done it a long time ago. I don't think we really have much to worry about. But sometimes you run into these things and it's just a fact of life. I think that's we could say that with definitive proof now to back it all up. And there was some more of your presentation, Scott, I want to talk about, too. It was with regard to the segment where he talks, he had there was some computer animation that you created that I thought was very interesting. I'd like to share that section, if you don't mind, while I set it up here. And that must have taken some time, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, we put some time and effort into this thing because, like I said, my goal was, one, to verify that the video is not tampered with, which we were able to do, to verify what is going on inside of the video. And I think that we were able to do that. Verify movement, lighting, and then track it. And then try to put a character together that fits not only what Angel's description of what he said he saw, but also fits the dimensions, the movement inside of the video itself. And so based on, this is not a guess, based on the totality of the evidence, we put together a character animation that we overlaid on top of the video and then play it side by side with the unedited video so that you can see what the evidence clearly suggests is going on under the shadows?
After analyze the motion of this the shadow, do you see this lines, this color, the squares on the screen?
Yes.
This was the first element to capture the motion. And you see it matches perfectly the motion of the shadow behind.
Yes, it does.
See this little square here, it represents the motion of the foot, the leg.
That is so convincing to me, the motion of the leg and keep going like this is so critical, because you can clearly see through the slots in the fence that there is a leg motion moving from the right to the left side of the screen. And clearly it is behind there. So this isn't just like a head floating in space. This is a head of somehow that does not have full opacity. I think you previously determined that the opacity of the head of the shadow is only at about 33% opacity versus a normal shadow, which would be at 100% opacity, or an object in the screen, which is at 100%. And this isn't anything that you did. It's just what you were able to determine, that this shadow being, or this being in the shadows, possibly creating its own shadow or smoky filter or cloaking technique, is not only cloaking itself from the people there, but cloaking itself from the camera itself, in that it's minimizing our ability to identify pixels inside of that shadow.
Exactly.
Angel said in one of his interviews that, he was 8 to 10 feet tall, which is what we have here, skinny body, big eyes, and it looked like his leg was crooked or broken. So you've added here kind of a insect style leg feature, so that we could still get the normal motion of a walk gait, but have an additional reverse oriented appendage joint to reflect the possible perception of a human with some sort of ontological shock, seeing this being totally surprised, shocked, frozen, possibly from some sort of just the shock of seeing a creature like this would freeze you, would scare you. And when he said he had a crooked leg or a broken leg, I think you've really captured that to a degree of accuracy, and with something that works in the world of human, or not human, but the world of biology. We know that there's insects that have this kind of leg configuration. It works on the 3D model. I think we've got the size, the scale, the density of the being correct. So I'm really pleased with this.
Wow. So that was interesting to see. I mean, you actually captured what this thing was, what it was like moving behind the fence.
Yeah. And I think that that's accurate. Based on the shadow that we can see through the slots in the fence and the height and all of the other descriptions, and the way it comes in, you use the term, it flies in. Well, it doesn't fly in. It walks in. It walks into the screen. And, I think that maybe the younger brother reacted to it a little bit, but I don't think the father or Angel knew that it was right there. I think the mom and maybe the younger brother sensed it. That's when, they retreated. And we can hypothesize as to what the alien or what this being was doing or what their intent was being that close to the family. But I think that you were right in your hypothesis that you did the other day. I thought it was a pretty wise assessment. They showed no hostility, no anger. Clearly, if they were in that craft that came down like a meteor, but was not a meteor because they had no heat signature, and they were accidental visitors. Maybe this one by the fence was just trying to create some space so the other guy could fix the ship and they can get out of Dodge. I think that's a fair assessment.
There might have been other ones there, too. I mean, maybe they only saw two of them. There could have been some working on the ship, and those two could have been out there, you know, making sure that they're not going to get attacked. They're scared. They're trying to scare the people away.
Yeah, give me a perimeter.
I mean, it could have been something to that effect.
Give me a perimeter. You look at any basic military tactic or scientific tactic. You know, if you're in the sea, like Avi Loeb, and you fall in, and you're going to go down, well, you're going to be in a shark cage, right? Because you don't want to get eaten by a shark. We are the ocean to these guys. We might be, they are probably more scared of us than we are of them, because if you look at the human race, we're a bunch of murdering bastards.
Yeah, we discovered last year, but now we have proof. I think what proves this is the fact that they're using technology to block out pixels on your cell phone. They have this ability. So that, I mean, they basically gave themselves away via their technology. But that's not the only evidence that we got going here. And there's some more evidence I want to present that with regard to the quote meteor, end quote.
Right.
Which, by the way, I believe a lot of scientists were saying, yeah, that's a meteor last year. You're telling me now that it doesn't look like that's the case. And,
well, I mean,
we're going to play a video here and we can see what you said here in this.
Yeah. Let's play. Go ahead and play the clip. I'll set it up until I start hearing the voice on it. So we identified three.
So as we
actually
wait
go ahead.
For
here, I'll let me do the talking for me.
Lewis to get back to us with a more augmented version of what's going on behind that fence. Let's look at a compilation of the meteor allegedly that crashed in the backyard that night. So this is a compilation of all of the footage with regard to evidence of the meteor. So we've got official dash cam footage from the Las Vegas Police Department. We have several ring cameras. We can see, you know, what people are saying is a fireball, but let's take a look. See, I've seen shooting stars and that looks way too big. So now we've got exact time and location. This is infrared. So this is infrared. So it looks green on infrared. And the optical without heat signature. So this is not showing heat. If that was a meteor, it would have a massive heat signature because it's a fireball, right?
It's 21 hours.
But there's no heat signature. So now we've got a long wave infrared. And now there's no meteor. So there's no heat signature, but we see the airplane. But now we don't see the airplane, but yet
it's
we see
7 hours.
But we see the meteor. Very interesting. Now, this is verified footage. We see another view from a ring camera or a security camera. We've got that address. We've been able to identify where those houses are.
And it lines up perfectly with Angel's backyard.
So it looks like it is coming right into Angel's backyard. Very interesting stuff. I think the most compelling is that there's no heat signature on the meteor.
Right, because we all know that a rock, which is what a meteor is, will burn up in the atmosphere, and that's what you get. You get an explosion. And then the other part is the audio. I did an example. I got audio and video of several major meteors that were documented on video that also have audio. And none of those meteors have a sound as it comes in, because as it comes in, it burns up in our atmosphere, which is so far up in the sky, however many thousands of feet, that you can't hear it. But yet on this one, on two of the cameras that actually are running video and audio at the same time that have been synced up, there is audio related to this thing coming into our atmosphere and into the ground.
Yeah, I do have that. If we continue with the video, that does pop up. But before we do continue with it, we will do that. I want to go revisit it. I just want to point out about meteors. You're talking about. You know, they heat up pretty hot. I mean, from what I understand, it's 1800 degrees. Well, actually, the Brock itself, they'll land cold. But what causes this? The air friction that heats it up gets up to 1800 degrees Celsius or over 3200 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right.
Right. So that's what causes the light when you see it falling. Right. It's just burning up because of the air friction. But then the meteor hits the ground and it's cold. However, like you pointed out, there's no heat signature on this. Right. So obviously something else is going on, apparently. I guess this could be considered additional corroboration to go along with the extraterrestrial that we have now proven to be in the backyard, and that we have proved that you have proven for sure. You and Luis have proven now that that there was something there, and that the people were telling the truth the whole time. So
yeah. Absolutely. And so I think if you look at, and that's the thing, as an evidence expert, you have to look at the totality of the circumstances. So now here's one clip all by itself. Now this is a body camera.
I don't know.
So clearly there's background audio on those two clips that match this object coming in. And now on the third clip with the dash cam, because the car's so loud, you can't hear anything. But that is a third verified clip. Clearly, it's the same angle. It's the same area. This has been verified. And then the fourth clip we have is from a self-driving car on a video that also has no audio. But clearly, we've got the object coming in. So I think we've isolated the object. We've isolated the audio. There is a sound with this thing as it comes through the air. And then we obviously have the Kenmore's video about what they saw in their backyard in collaboration with this alleged meteor. And we've slowed it down to 10.
Yeah, so you did hear the sound. I think you do bring it on again here.
100% and used a tracking software to track its movement. And I think the interesting thing here is that the self-driving car camera has the best, most unobstructed view. And I never see an explosion of the meteor like I've seen in other meteors. And I'll get some other footage of meteors so that we can see how a meteor explodes when it gets into the atmosphere and burns up. But this has no heat signature, and we're going to put the infrared on the next one, and let's take a look. Here's the Vegas meteor with an X-ray filter, with a duotone filter, and then with a negative image filter. Now back to the Ring camera and the body camera.
That was the sound.
Yeah.
That was the sound.
Yeah, that was the sound.
So
doesn't sound like a meteor to me. Now, you could get any, listen, the evidence is overwhelming with the meteor spacecraft. And I think we could even do more research on it. I ran out of time. I think that there is a rate change in the descent. Now, if this was an atmospheric meteor, you would expect a particular speed to be consistent, if not speeding up as it gets closer. But this, it almost starts stationary, and then it gets real fast, and then it slows down very low to the ground, almost like they're trying to decelerate before impact. If you disagree with us, prove me wrong. That's all. Prove me wrong.
I want to say, I also want to have a shout out to my friends, Rob Heatherly and Shannon Scott. They were there for me today. I was bouncing a lot of ideas off them today leading up to this. And I know that they're very excited and they can't wait to see this show. I've been talking about it with them over the weekend. They're of Military Witnesses, the UAP. Check out their channel. They're two great guys, and I want to say thank you very much to those guys that will come here. I mean, I don't have that big of a channel, but I want to say, you know, there's a lot of nice comments I received on a regular basis. I want to say thank you very much for all of that.
And this one's for you, Gray Owl.
Gray Owl, we can never forget Gray Owl.
This Gray one's for Gray Owl, baby. He is a legend, up north. Gray Owl, baby. Keep fighting, man.
Mr. Gray Owl always has some fun stuff.
Oh, he's the best, man.
Well, I want to say thank you very much, Scott, for joining me. I think this is a great day. It's a great time, and I'm very excited. I'm excited for the UFO community. That's what I'm excited for the most right now. I feel like, you know, I'm probably going to get done this, and there'll be tears in my eyes for it because we have the evidence now. Everybody should be happy, and it's great.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what people have to say, and I know it's not all going to be – not no. Everybody's going to be happy about it. But I am interested to hear all the comments, and feel free. Now, I'm probably going to post this on going to have Jim on my show in a day or so. It's a little bit too late tonight. I'm all tired for us to do my show tonight. But we can do my show where you're going to be a guest on my show. And I would just ask all you people in ET Reality to come on over here to the Crime Scene Time Machine when we release our episode. And we'll pick up the rest of this story. And, we'll keep moving it on from there, man.
I will have the links for your both channels on Spotify and on YouTube in the description for people that are looking for you. So,
Thanks. Well, it was a great time. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to work with you on this. You're the man. I love your show. Keep doing the great work, brother.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate you coming on and ending this debate finally. Thank you. Once and for all, it's all over, folks.
All right. Case closed.
All right. I want to say thank you all for joining me. Until next time.